Hey man, I always listen to Brother Kent sing. I like singing with him.
That's a good one, man.
That's a good one. I like singing with him. Sometimes it's good to sit back and listen to someone else sing, hey man.
Yeah.
I'm gonna turn this back down now so I don't blow y'all's ears out tonight. Like I said, it's good to be back. It's good to know the Lord. Romans chapter number 8. I want you there if you're willing and able to stand with me. You know, week before last, I do appreciate the church allowing me to get some rest last week. It was very much needed. But last week we started this chapter with the power of the Spirit, part one, and I ended up preaching on a little longer the failure without the Spirit, of how the church age that we're in now has quenched the Spirit of God due to fact on numbers, on money, on all those things that we've allowed and we've quenched the Spirit of God. When God tells us very plainly here in the Bible, if we live that carnal-minded way, where we start looking out and we start seeing, well, I get down maybe because there's only 5 people here tonight, or you know what, we don't need to worry about those types of the things. We need to be spiritually minded, and that's what we're going to get into tonight. And last week, we also spoke of freedom through the Spirit. But I really, really stood on failure without the Spirit. Because if the Spirit of God's not here, there's no need nobody being here. Amen? And that's just the truth. But look at verse number 9 with me. Let's look at verse number 8. Let's start back at verse number 8 where we ended out with last week. He says then, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But, there it is, but. God's buts are different than our buts. It says, but ye are not in the flesh. Anybody who's saved in this room tonight, remember one thing, you are not in the flesh. You are now spiritually, you are saved, you're born again. Paul says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And that goes back to saying, hey, if you were not put under Holy Ghost conviction the day that you were saved, you cannot be saved. Because without the Spirit of Christ, which is the Holy Ghost, because the Godhead is 3 in 1, you cannot be saved. And it says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Himself that raised up from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye live through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may suffer, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of creation waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Our gracious Father, Lord, we're thankful for the opportunity to be back tonight in your house, Father God. Father, we ask you, dear Lord, you touch the service here tonight, Father, and just bless us, Father God, Lord, and just allow us to take what you want us to take out of here tonight, dear Lord. And we'll just be careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Like I said this week, we're kind of going to get into the faith through the Spirit. You know, there's still power in the Spirit. There's still power in the Holy Spirit.
I don't care what anybody has to say. If the Spirit has lost His power, then salvation is over for the church age, and we'll be raptured up out of here very soon. But the Spirit of God has not lost its power. And we are, and it's through that that we have faith through the Spirit. I'm talking about salvation faith. I'm not talking about just, well, I put faith in my mama to make sure I had dinner when I was little. Or I have dinner at grandma's house when I was little. That was the type of faith that I put in, knowing that they were going to feed me, whether they ate themselves. This is a different type of faith. This is a salvation faith. Paul said, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. When you're saved, the day you're saved, you was put in the Spirit of God. You were put in the family of God. That no man could take you out. See, if it wasn't for the Holy Ghost, it seals you into salvation. He seals you in that no man can pull you out. That's what the Spirit done for me and you. You see, the Bible says that if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Aren't you glad today that He dwells on the inside? I know that song that Jimmy and Granny used to sing, This Old House. I'm glad you know that. No, there's been times where the Spirit of God has had the right to get up, to move out, to move on, to move away from me, to never bother me again. But thanks be to God that He's still walking up and down these old halls, and He's still there with me. That's the faith that I put in Him. And that's what He delivered unto me. He just didn't deliver unto me a salvation that could be taken away from me. No, He sealed me in. He took that old flesh of mine that was useless and worthless and sinful, and He moved inside of it to make me righteousness and holy before an Almighty God. That's what He done for me. He saved me. He saved. He said, but now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. You cannot be saved. I can say this 100 times, and I believe the people here tonight understand what I'm trying to say when I say this. You cannot be saved without the Spirit of God. You say, well, what do you mean? Last time you were talking about compromising and quenching. And quenching the Spirit. Well, that's what we do with Him on our own time. But I promise you this much, you can quench Him. You can try to push Him down, but He will never unseal you from the salvation of grace through the blood of Jesus Christ. Never. I can say that. They say never, Sister Cook. Well, the Holy Spirit will never leave you. Sister Tammy, He ain't going nowhere. You can't push them away. You can't run them off. Because you know why? If that was the case, then that verse you quote all the time, Brother Kent, that He will never leave you nor forsake you, would be a lie. And we was talking about this before we started the service. And I believe this is what Paul said in the Romans here. Don't you worry about Him ever trying to leave you. He will never leave you, because that's a promise that's written in God's Holy Word. And I ain't never seen one where He ain't told the truth. It's the Spirit of God that saves you. Now, you're saved, but you also have to be willing to submit to Him, a submission to the Spirit. I love this right here. I hear people say all the time, I'll never submit to anything. But if you never submit to anything but the Spirit of God, you submit to the greatest person you could ever submit to. And then you'll start living right. And you won't be worried about all that other stuff you said you would never do before. Because if the Spirit tells you to submit, you'll submit. You know, when Christ is in us, you know, Christ lives in us. If you're saved, the Spirit of God and Christ and God are all one person. They're three in one. They all live on the inside of you. Your body is dead to sin. Amen. You say, how do you know that? They just said it. Paul told the Romans, he said, and if Christ be in you, in verse number 10, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit, there's God's but again, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. You see, the body is dead to sin. We're dead to sin. But because Christ lives in us, our spirits are saved unto righteousness. You know, y'all can probably contest this a little bit more than me because some of y'all are older than I am, amen. I am the second youngest person in the room today, amen. But y'all can probably contest to this. As you get older, your body gets more worn out. Your body starts hurting. Your body starts letting you down a little bit more as you grow older. I laid down in a chair like this the other day, picking around with a guy. I didn't think my back was going to let me back up. And that's stuff I used to be able to pick around and play around with all the time. Your body's still going to get old. Your body's still going to decay. Your body's still going to give out on you. Your body's still going to feel old and wore out at times. And sometimes you might not feel like that spring chicken that you once was. But glory be to God, you got the Spirit of God on the inside of you. Your soul ain't never growing older. It ain't never going to die. It's going to be glorified because you're made righteousness. Take that, Calvinists. People who preach falling from grace, they don't read Romans too well, do they? He said that we're sealed. We've been saved. We have somebody living on the inside of us instead of we would just submit to Him, that we would be crucified to the flesh and the afflictions of the lust. But we have to submit to Him. Once again, I'm going to tell you what's another thing that's wrong with the church age, and I'm going to have to hear, oh, here he goes again, talking about the church age. Well, it's the truth. I ain't telling you nothing the Bible don't tell you. And the reason we are where we're at today is because we forgot to submit to the Spirit and stop walking after the flesh and falling into lustful desires and falling into afflictions of the mind and becoming carnal-minded. But if you're to submit to the Spirit, Paul says you'll be fine. You'll be able to withstand the lust. If you remember, I believe it's Galatians, where Paul talks about forsaking the flesh and walking in the Spirit. Why can we not forsake our flesh and walk in the Spirit of God anymore? Let me tell you, some people think it's easy to submit to the Spirit fully. Some people think that it's easy to forsake your flesh and to walk after the Spirit and forget the lust and forget the afflictions of this world. But it's not as easy as you think it is. I'm just being honest with you tonight. It's not easy to forsake the flesh and walk after the Spirit. There's some fleshly things that you just got to do, like air conditioning. That's a fleshly thing. And we just had this argument on the way back. Our air conditioner went out in our car. And our flesh both got the better of us. And we both got an attitude. And we both started arguing with each other. And it just happened. And you know why? Because we was not in our right spirit when this argument was going on. And that's just the truth. If you look at some of the arguments that you've had with your spouses, everybody in here has been married. And you can't say you ain't. And I know all of you argue. I heard them two arguing up in the mountains. I've heard them argue up in the mountains. I'm pretty sure Kent and Louise argued. Sister Tanner, I know that you probably argued with your spouse. But I'm telling you now, listen, those are things that make you still walk in the flesh. Everybody's like, well, no, hold on now. Arguing with somebody you love is common. Yeah, it might be common, but it's still a fleshly thing. I want you to go look in your Bible and find how many times Jesus argued with anybody. You're not going to find it. You know why? Because He didn't argue. He wasn't a debater. But Paul said here that, you know, we have to stop walking in our flesh and we have to start letting the flesh get the best of us. And we got to forsake the lust of this world. And we got to forsake the afflictions of this world. And I know there's certain things that everybody wants to go see and everybody wants to go do. And now some of them are becoming more lustly than they were back in the 50s and 60s. And some of them are becoming more dangerous to do now. Did you know that they think that some of the things that Disney World is doing now is right and it's totally wrong? You know what? They let the flesh get a hold of them.
Flesh ain't saved.
Flesh ain't saved, Brother Kent. That's what Paul says here. He says the only thing that's saved is your spirit. And you know why your spirit's saved? It's because the Spirit of God went on the inside of you and He washed you away in the blood of Jesus Christ. And God saved you by His marvelous grace. And He loved you enough to care for you. He's just letting the Romans know. He said, hey, that flesh that you're living nothing in. It's not worth nothing. But the Spirit of God that dwells on the inside of you is worth the whole entire universe.
It's time to stop walking after the flesh. It's time for us as a church to walk after the Spirit of God. I made the statement before we even started the service real good. I don't know why the Lord's got this laid on my heart. I don't care if 3 or 4 people show up Thursday and Friday to this vacation Bible school. We will be here and we will serve God in spirit and in truth. And we'll have a shouting good time if it comes down to having a shouting good time. You know why? Because I want to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. So many people today are making deals with children to get them into church. You know what that is? That's walking after the flesh. I didn't have no choice. When I was told to get up, put my clothes on, it was time to go to church. It went, we'll go out to eat if you go. It won't, we'll go get ice cream if you go to church. No, it was you going to get your little butt up, put your clothes on and go to church because I'm the parent and you're the child. In the discussion, there was no bargaining, there was no dealing. My parents wasn't playing that, I'll beg you to go. Does that make sense? The I beg you, that's the flesh of today. Is that we compromise and beg people to come to church. There is no compromising. I invite you to church, you show up. If you don't, you don't, okay? We might go out to eat after church, but I'm not going to compromise, tell you I'm going to buy your lunch if you come to church with me. Somebody says, well, you got to win them however you want to win them. Well, me begging and borrowing and making certain claims is not the reason you should want to come here. That's fleshly thing. And I don't believe the Spirit has anything in that. But the Bible says that we're crucified to the flesh. When Christ, when we were saved, we became crucified to the flesh. That means our flesh is dead. And the only way that our flesh can be resurrected again is by Christ. But He's not worried about this old sinful flesh that you're living in anymore. He came and died for your soul. And the Spirit of God is now dwelling on the inside of you. Man, I don't know how I got to talking about the flesh and being off on the flesh. And you know, the afflictions of the flesh. But we all are in the flesh. If you're alive, you're in the flesh. But God said, but the Bible says, and Paul tells the Romans, that if you're alive today, and you're saved by the grace of God, your flesh is dead to sin. He said your flesh. Listen, your flesh. He didn't say your spirit is dead to sin. Do you know why? He was talking to the saved people here at Rome when he said that, hey, that your sin is dead. I mean, that your flesh is dead to sin, but the Spirit that dwells on the inside of you has saved your soul. I hear people say, it's fine to keep walking in the flesh. No, it's not. The Bible says that we should not want to walk in the flesh, but we should walk in the Spirit and forsake all fleshly, lustly desires. The Holy Spirit will quicken our mortal bodies as it's quickened the body of Christ. What verse number 11 says. It says, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up, there it is again, Paul once again pointing beyond Calvary, but pointing to the tomb. Now, a lot of people get this mixed up. I love looking back to the cross, but there was an event that took place after the cross, just 3 days later, that sealed my salvation. If Jesus would have died and not rose again the third appointed day, there would be no salvation. Once again, Paul not only points you to the cross for forsaking your fleshly desire, he points the Romans back to the tomb. Now he said that if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. You know why some of you that are more elderly, I'm going to use elderly instead of old. That sounds a little bit better, right? Cole got on me last week. He said, I said that old lady, she said, baby, she said, you shouldn't call him old. She called him elderly. I said, I'm sorry. I said those elderly people then, amen. But
But do you know why that you're able to still get up and go on and do the things you do in the church house and be able to come and clean, be able to come and decorate for Vacation Bible School this week? It's not just because you're willing to do it. It's because the Spirit of God has helped your mortal body.
And we need more young people to step up and start doing some stuff in the church house. Amen? We do. It sounds bad, but we do. I think only two young people in the whole entire church do anything for the church now. That's the pastor and his wife, and everybody else is, you know, elderly. Yeah, Mama, you're elderly too. Daddy's getting elderly. But he still tries. Daddy can barely walk across the floor, but he still tries to do stuff for the house of God. When I was up there hanging those lights, we almost had to beat him with his own cane to keep him from trying to climb up those ladders and putting the new light fixtures on. For real, I'm not playing. That's because the Spirit on the inside of him tells him he has to help out. He has to do something. And you should feel the same way about God's house. You should want to help out. You should want the Spirit of God to quicken your moral body and be able to get you up and get you out of bed in the morning. It's because the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of you that some of you can keep going and that some of you can keep walking on even when times got hard, even when times got tough and you felt like quitting. It's because of the Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. It's the same Spirit, glory to God, that's living on the inside of you. Woo, that was a mouthful. That's why you get up. That's why you can keep going on. And that's why Paul wrote, when the dead in Christ shall rise first. Do you know who's going to raise the dead in Christ? The Spirit that raised God from the dead, that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, is going to be the exact same Spirit that breathes upon all those bodies that's laying there decaying now in a graveyard. One day they're going to get up in their glorified body and they're going to walk around because the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Woo. Hey, I should have preached this morning. Glory to God, let me tell you. He quickens you. He quickens you. He quickens you. You know why sometimes, Cole, you get that urge, you just got to come clean the church? Do you know why? Because He quickens you. Be laying down, be about ready to have to go to sleep. So we need to go clean the church. Better call somebody to go with you, because I'm not going today. I'm tired. I've been working all night. Amen? But He quickens us. John 6:3 says this. It says, if the Spirit that quickeneth the flesh profiteth nothing, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is a spirit of truth and life. We said this before church started. I'm glad everything God does in a church house ends up coming together and going right along with everything else. We said, you know what? When the world and the air is on fire, you know what will remain? The Word of God. And the Spirit of God that quickens you will remain. Everything else will be on fire, Brother Kent. But the Word of God will not burn. It will not be destroyed. It will endure forever. This is one thing I really love about the Spirit. And something that means a lot to me, but you know, we have fellowship through the Spirit. A lot of people don't understand that in this day and time, but I tell people all the time that fellowship has to be through the Spirit. And you're here tonight, and most of you tonight are members of this church, not because your spouse was here, it's because the Spirit led you here. And you became fellowship through the Spirit with the church. And we're Spirit led. We are not to, you know, live the old ways that we used to live anymore. We've been born again. I don't hang out with the old crowd I used to hang out with. I don't hang out with the bar crowd that I used to hang out with. I know Papa, he loved that song, Thanks to Calvary.
We don't live here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Thanks to the Spirit of God, I no longer dwell in bar houses. I no longer dwell and find fellowship in those things. I find fellowship in the house of God with other saints that are saved by the grace of God, just like I am. It says, therefore, brethren, we are, in verse number 12, it says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, but not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And I was over there reading. One reason I asked Brother Kent to sing by himself was that, one, I like to listen to him sing by himself. But I wanted to know more about that one word. Anybody want to take a guess what word that I really wanted to look at and see what it meant? Out of that chapter, mortify. What exactly is Paul trying to say here? What is he trying to say here? Well, the strong definition invites it is to put to death. It means to make to die, to destroy, to render extinct by death, to be liberated from the bonds of anything, literally to be made dead in like relation to something. It means to be dead. It become dead, caused to be put to death, killed, mortified. That means that Paul says right here, he says that we need, he said, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body. What are the deeds of the body? What's the deeds of the body? Sin. Sin is our deed. We're born in this deed. Our deed was both sides. Before we was even born, David said, my mother did conceive me in iniquities. That means that I was conceived in the sins of my mother. My mother was not a perfect saint like most people might think she was. Amen. Love you, Mama. Trying to help you out a little bit back there. Amen. She was not Mary the mother of Jesus. Either, let me just go ahead and tell you this. Mary the mother of Jesus can't get you to heaven either. She can't get you to heaven either. She can't make you mortify the deeds of the body. They can pray to her all they want to, but she cannot mortify the deeds of the body. Only one perfect person came out of Mary, and that was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But he said to make and to kill. There's only one way for us to kill the deeds of our body, church, and we can't do it on our own. We need help. You can't forgive your own sins. Your pastor can't forgive your own sins. Your best friend can't forgive your own sins. A saint of God can't forgive you of your sins. It takes the Spirit of God to put you under conviction and to save you through the blood of Jesus Christ, which died upon the hill called Calvary and resurrected again on the third appointed day according to the Scripture. That's how you defeat the deeds of your body. Deeds. I like when people start singing about deeds and it goes a little bit, my deeds were both signed and recorded the day Jesus saved me from my sins. Yeah. Amen. It's Spirit-led. Fellowship becomes Spirit-led. You can't have fellowship one with another unless it's Spirit-led. Paul says that we have to put those things in our body to death. And the only way to put those things to death is Jesus Christ. We have spiritual liberty. We are no longer in bondage. God's Spirit is in us. It is the proof that we are His children and His heirs. Now, when I was little, I used to think about this another way. When I read that you will be heirs, and if heirs, you'll be made joint heirs with Christ. Now, how in the world, if someone as horrible and as bad and as useless and a guy that lived in the flesh probably longer than most people do. Most people are still living in the flesh today. And even myself, I'm still in my flesh and you're still in yours. But how am I supposed to be a joint heir with the only perfect person to ever walk the face of the earth? Well, if I would have read my Bible when I was thinking that, I would realize the reason I'm a joint heir with Christ is because of the Spirit of God. We're heir. We're children. We're heirs. I had a man tell me one time, well, we're nothing but adoption. And we're nothing but adopted into the family of God. I heard Bill Cook say one time, the only reason if we was adopted, and that's all we was adopted, we could never be heirs. You know that a child that's adopted has no claim to his parents' stuff? Did you know that? If me and Cole would go out and adopt a kid now, and we would have another kid that was conceived by me and her and was not adopted, it would be the heir over everything we had. The adopted one would never get anything. We could put a little wheel in the adopted one, and the one that was born of mine and Cole's seeds could be like, you know what? I want everything. I'm taking you to court. You know what the court would do? The court would render him the heir over everything we own. Bible says that we're joint heirs with Christ. That means not only were we adopted, Bible says that we was adopted, but we was grafted in by the will of God. We're more than just adopted children. He says we're heirs. And we're heirs because of the Spirit of God that dwells on the inside of us. He says that's how we know that we're born again. And that's how my spirit can mix with your spirit. And the Spirit of God knows itself and says, hey, they're saved, they can fellowship, they're joint heirs with Christ together. And that's how we know. Because if we was just adopted, Brother Kent, we wouldn't be anything but just adopted children. Jesus would have never made the statement, you've been faithful over a few things, Cole. I'll make you ruler of many. He couldn't say that if we was just adopted. And a lot of people say that's harsh, but that's the truth. A lot of things that you're going to hear the truth is going to be harsh. You just have to accept what the Bible says. And I know that hurts people's feelings, and I know that don't make people feel right, especially people that's been adopted. But if you become to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are not only adopted, but grafted in by the Spirit of God. And that will give you spiritual liberty. And in the book of Titus, who wrote the book of Titus? Who wrote the book of Titus?
Apostle Paul wrote the book of Titus. Who wrote the book of Titus?
Paul, the apostle. It says that being justified by grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Paul wanted Titus to know before he closed that book out that being justified by God's grace, we should be made heirs of three men that suffered. And I use these next few verses that came up. And if children, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. The present sufferings are not worthy to be compared to the glories of heaven once we get home. I told somebody one time, I'd rather suffer down here than suffer in hell. I'd rather suffer for Christ's sake and know that when I get to the end of my mark that I'm pressing toward, that one day that my present suffering will be worth every single footstep, every single mile that I had to walk for Christ's sake. It'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. John the Baptist suffered because he would not compromise.
in this very chapter, you have a carnal-minded person that Paul's talking about that would have compromised and would have saved his head. John the Baptist refused to compromise and had his head cut off. Paul the Apostle suffered, as he writes many times, and you see in the book of Acts, he suffered because he would not change the truth of the gospel. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was a man who could go anywhere he wanted to. He was a Roman citizen. He was a citizen to other nations. He was an Israelite. Paul could go wherever he wanted to. There's a reason that God chose Paul, church. And that's because Paul had citizenships to other places. But his favorite citizenship was not of this world. It was of heaven. And this man suffered more than anybody that I know of, other than the third man that suffered. And I'll get to him in a minute. Paul was shipwrecked. He slept in the desert. He was shipwrecked again. He slept in the desert. He was let down over a basket on the wall because they thought that he knew that the church was mad at him. So the other disciples had to let him down by the basket on the wall. He suffered for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He suffered. Most of us can't do any suffering. Look what Paul done. And then you got Jesus, the King of glory. He suffered it all for me. He suffered sin, shame, and rejection. He suffered the Father turning His own back on Him before me and you. That's why Jesus suffered. No man suffered like Jesus suffered. If you really think about the beating of Jesus Christ that He took, and I know they paint all these pretty pictures about it, but you could probably see His ribs, His inside of His organs. And not only that, it's like Don Anderson said, they wrapped this cloak around Him while He was bleeding. And do you know what happens to a bandage once you rip it off? The skin comes off with it.
Amen.
He suffered, Cole, more than anybody ever suffered. He suffered. We desire to be with Christ, but we don't want to suffer for it. For our light affliction, Paul says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us far more exceedingly and an eternal weight of glory. Paul counted his suffering light affliction. If Paul's suffering was light affliction, what would we classify our suffering as? Think about that this week. If Paul said that for our light affliction, that means he suffered lightly in his own eyes. We also suffer lightly in Paul's eyes. But Paul suffered way more than anybody in this room combined together.
Amen.
He said it was light. Most Christians, once they go through a trial outside these doors, can't even take it any longer. But if we permit the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, to guide us, to teach us, to make us what God wants us to be, we can take that suffering and we can keep pressing on towards the mark. Because once we reach the gates of heaven's shore, it'll be worth every single mile we walk. That's the power of the Spirit. We can't quench Him. We got to allow Him to take over our lives. We got to allow Him to walk with us, to talk with us, to be who we are, what Christ wants us to be, what God wants us to be. We must be willing to let the Spirit lead us right slap dab in the middle of the will of God, and that's how we'll make something out of our lives. There's certain things we must do ourselves, though. Don't think it's not. I'm about to close out. I don't want to lose nobody. But there's certain things that we must do ourselves. But the Spirit will work in us and through us if we permit Him to do so. So when I tell you there's some things you got to do by yourself, there's some things you're going to do with Him that He's going to permit you to do that you're going to have to actually get up and go do. Go do it. Yep. Because we are the sons of God. If you're saved, you're the sons of God. I'm looking forward to next Sunday night already, even though we won't have a Sunday night service next week. I forgot about that. Don't forget.